What's up, everybody? You are listening to Switch Flicks, the podcast where we love and hate movies at the same time. I'm your host, Omar, and I'm here with my favorite minor god, Haysom. Haysom, how's it going?
You know, in this movie, Christian Bale plays a character called the God Butcher.
Okay.
He plays a character who's turned away from religion and the gods.
Right.
Right? I see why they hired Christian Bale.
Oh, God. Switch. The rules of the podcast are simple. Haysom and I review something, one of us will have to love it, one of us will have to hate it, and who does what will be determined by the flip of a coin.
The coin of fate.
The coin of fate!
The coin of fate.
The catch is that at any point in our debate, we can use the switch to change positions. So, if you loved it, you now hate it, and if you hated it, you now love it. Spoilers, as always, today we are reviewing Thor, Love and Thunder. Let us begin with our patented one-breath synopsis. Thor Love and Thunder is a 2022 American superhero film based on Marvel Comics featuring the character Thor. It is the sequel to Thor Ragnarok and the 29th film of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The film is directed by Taika Waititi. In the film, Thor attempts to find inner peace but must return to action and recruit Valkyrie, Korg, and Jane Foster, who is now the mighty Thor, to stop Gore the God Butcher Bale from eliminating all gods. The movie adapts elements from Jason Aaron's run on the Mighty Thor comic book, which sees Foster's take on the mantle and powers of Thor whilst under treatment for cancer. Meanwhile, Grodd kidnaps children from a new Asgard in an attempt to reach the center of the universe and eliminate all gods.
I'm now about to flip the coin of fate. If it lands on heads, you love Thor Love and Thunder.
Oh yeah.
If it lands on tails, you thunder Thor Love and Thunder. You hate it.
Blunder.
You hate it. Here goes nothing. Heads.
Oh yeah.
You love Thor Love and Thunder. Swift.
Laughs, action, gravitas, muscles, magic, gods, butchering. So much to enjoy and so much to pack into a powerful two-hour film.
What you did there was just random word association, which is what this movie is. It is tonally uneven. And I think it's time that they stopped making these Thor movies. Chris Hemsworthless, more like it. Taika, why? TD. See? Puns. I can be funny too.
This is humor of the highest caliber, all right? This is not random word association. This is whip smart, quick, on your feet thinking that is also balanced by a deep appreciation for emotion and meaning.
This is silly slapstick humor, and it is mostly kind of juvenile humor. And the big problem, now I love,
since when do you have any issue with juvenile humor?
I listen, poopy face. Listen, Mr. Poopy Face. Okay, I think that Thor Ragnarok was a fantastic film, and this is such a huge step down from
forward.
It. The humor does not hit, and it is too much of a comedy. It is just a comedy throughout, and so there are no stakes in this film.
Listen, from the start, the stakes that we're talking about, you've got Thor has lost everything. He's trying to find himself.
He's again. Lost his charisma. He's lost his brain cells. Because Thor in this movie is so stupid. He was never stupid. He was kind of, he had a frat boy kind of thing going. But in this movie, it is ridiculous how much they've dumbed him down. Again, like I'm saying, the movie has no stakes. You keep trying to turn away from that. But, you know, there's these kids that are kidnapped in this movie. And that should feel dangerous, right? But it doesn't.
They're God kids.
It's too comedic.
These aren't regular kids. These aren't children who would die of asphyxiation on an alien planet. They're the children of God. So please give me a break, all right? Not to mention the fact that, I mean, look, there's an entire thread where Jane Foster is literally dying, all right? And the fact of the matter is that that is a serious issue. And from the beginning, what she's trying to do, just like any human being would, is to react to that situation through humor. That is the most human way to react to a difficult situation.
Switch.
And it's completely inappropriate. totally uncalled for. I mean, what is this? Really, just this level of jokes above all? Jokes above all. I mean, the amount of absurdity in this film. Look, we had it in Thor Ragnarok and all of us liked it. But here, that's all we have from beginning to middle to end. Everything that we thought we liked about Thor Ragnarok, Taika Waititi basically made that the film, right? We have Korg. All right, everybody's like, oh, we like Korg. Now Korg is the film. He's in the beginning, middle, he's the narrator. And when he dies, he doesn't even die. We're like, oh, thank God he's dead. They pick up his face and then they strap it to their head.
So you're saying that he took all the good things about Ragnarok and made that the film? Yeah, that sounds great. Why are you complaining about that? This movie does a delicate dance of humor and pathos. Danger, Christian Bale's performance. Let's talk about some of those performances.
Right.
Christian Bale plays one of the best MCU villains we have ever seen. He is dangerous. The movie actually starts with him, so you really connect with his character. Yeah. You see his motivation.
Right.
And then he is so scary throughout
the film. Oh, no, you skipped a part. So the movie starts with him, and he's dying on a desert planet.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're thinking that the film is going in one direction. His daughter dies. Yeah. So you're like, oh, wow, a heavy moment.
Well, how
suddenly
emotional.
He walks into this absurd-looking set that looks like a set. It does not look like it should belong in any film of any kind. It looks like an animatic for the film, all right? Like, literally, they bought plants from IKEA and put them around. And there's this god that is so absurd, right? That all of a sudden the tone switches so much that you're like, okay, what movie am I watching? Fine, I'll forgive it. Yeah. Let's see what happens. You know, you see Christian Bale doing his best to put some value into this really empty husk of a character. And then, oh, the god, what does he do? He points literally to a sword on the ground. He's like, oh, don't touch that sword. That is a sword that can kill me. And that's the sword that you shouldn't touch. So don't go near the thing, the plot device, that will then float into your hand of its own accord. come on, man.
No, I think that shows the god's kind of vanity, which is what this movie is showing, right? And it is such a great representation of those kind of gods that were always so full of themselves. And so, much like Thor was in the first movie, this is a whole narrative arc that's going on here. We have seen how Thor has changed, but these gods, they are still full of themselves, right? And yes, those sets did look like they were plants and, like, you know, CGI. And that was on purpose because this movie pays homage to the 80 movies from the 80s.
Does it?
Right? That's what the tone of the film is. It is like,
I feel like you're arcing around every logical point now. The only thing I can do is say that at every point when a decision could have been made in this film, Taika Waititi, who I, again, used to love.
Yeah.
Right? I used to love Taika Waititi. I used to love the stuff he did in What We Do in the Shadows, even in the Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
You know, hilarious show. What he did in Boy, what he did in Hunt for the Wilder People, what he did in Thor Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. And now he's just so full of himself.
Wow.
That all he can do is just joke and joke and joke and ha ha ha. At in jokes also. It's like nobody takes anything seriously anymore.
We have Natalie Portman back in this film.
Right.
And she is giving such an amazing performance here. You know, she didn't want to have anything to do with the MCU for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And then she saw what a great character this is.
Switch.
And then Natalie Portman said, I'd rather die than be in another MCU movie. Just kill off my character. Give me cancer, because that's what the MCU is. I think that's what the C stands for.
Oh my
Marvel
God.
Cancerous Universe.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
This movie.
So wait, you're saying that according to this logic, that they took that as a script note?
Yes, they absolutely did.
They're like, we'll do that?
Yes. I don't understand why this movie has two such kind of tonally different things happening. Everything's comedy. And then you have this really heavy cancer subplot, and they just don't go together.
I get it.
It is so jarring to watch in the movie.
You're tone deaf. You're not tone deaf in terms of music. You're tone deaf in terms of movies.
Yeah.
All right. What you don't see is the expert way that Taika Waititi has elevated his craft, right? Now, the thing about Taika Waititi and his elevated craft is that he is the master at balancing real world stakes, pain and emotional heartache, all right, with a childlike wonder and a sense of humor. You know, this is the thing that makes his films feel so refreshing and revitalizing. He tackles these serious issues in a way that still pays them respect, but doesn't sink into its own sense of sadness and depression, and still makes us feel revitalized.
It is frankly exhausting to watch this movie. And then there's the CGI, which is absolutely cartoonish. Okay. There's the on-the-nose music with the Guns N' Roses over and over again.
Two things, all right? How dare you speak ill of the CGI artists, all right? You keep doing this, all right? You're punching down, man. You're punching down. And as an Indian, your fellow countrymen are there slaving away for Marvel, yeah, all right? For big, you know, for big Marvel, all right? Who, to be fair to Marvel, you know, they have so many fans that they're trying to satisfy, like yourself, all yeah, right? If only we would take a step back and appreciate the hard work of all these artists and not punch down. They're doing their best within extremely difficult circumstances.
Wow. You know, I want movies to be more like Top Gun, you know, with real people, real danger. Instead, we get this nonsense.
So how can we shoot a real...
Go into real Asgard. Into space. Do something. But whatever we end up with here is absolutely cartoonish. And here's the other thing I really want to talk about, okay? Marvel fatigue, right? There are so many Marvel movies, Marvel TV shows.
Can't get
I am just bored of them. It's the same thing over and over again. Ever since the Avengers Endgame has ended, all these movies, most of these movies have been a disappointment.
What?
And they don't know what they're doing with this multiverse stuff. It is just
it's
flailing
all
about.
Coming together, as you will see. Mm. Kevin Feige, may God bless him,
yeah,
has a plan. Kevin Feige, may God bless him,
yeah,
is the one who is the brain behind all this. Now, this phase is a transitory phase, as we know, because Kevin Feige, may God bless him, knows exactly what is happening. Just because you don't see it,
yeah,
doesn't mean, you know, your problem is you have no faith. You have no faith, all right, in the God that is Kevin Feige, who has a plan for all of us and Marvel, and who knows where we're all headed. You don't have to know the details.
There's
you just have to have faith.
There's a new Marvel thing happening every month. There's a new TV show.
Let's get back to the film itself, all right? To this specific film, there are so many incredible Easter eggs and wonderful scenes that just play out like just purely for our satisfaction, okay? And how dare you, okay? You've got Valkyrie coming back as King Valkyrie, and she's just such an interesting character, all right? She wants to get back into the fight. Instead, she's been put into an administrative position, right? You've got, Jane Foster, who's now the Mighty Thor, just a complete contrast between her weakened body and then because of the love that Thor has and the fact that he asked Mjolnir to protect her, has now been able to actually become the Mighty Thor in order to this wonderful experience of fighting against this horrible thing called cancer. Then you go to the God place.
Oh God, let's
you
talk.
Know? What's that called again? The
God place.
God place.
Let's talk Mecca. Let's talk about Russell Crowe. What is Russell Crowe doing in this movie? It is
phenomenal.
Awful. He's a discount Jeff Goldblum. They're trying to find some other quirky actor, and that accent that he puts on.
Greek.
It is so weird.
Australian Greek.
Have
you never bought a pita from an Australian Greek vendor?
By the way, it really goes to show that we're talking about a superhero movie and we haven't talked about the action at all, because the action is so forgettable. The action in Ragnarok was so colorful, so beautiful.
How can you say that? There's action from beginning, middle, and end. Even in the opening scene when Thor is fighting these owl creatures. Guess what? NES playing, epic splits, callback, Jean-Claude Van Damme, destroying them left and right and center. And then you've got the attack on Asgard. And what do you get? You get all these people fighting all these creatures, destroying. And then when Gore comes out of the shadows and he looks like a death's head and he's just terrifying. And then he fights first with Thor. And then he fights them again and he fights them again. And every single one of those battles is just, it's just so satisfying. What are you talking about, man?
Switch.
That the fight scenes, all right, are paint by numbers. They're paint by numbers, right? I mean, what kind of a fight scene is with an amorphous series of inky creatures that rise out of the shadows and have no personality whatsoever?
The fight scenes are so creative. Taika really knows how to frame a fight. Every scene's a painting, you know? You have the black and white section in this film in the middle. Incredible.
Lack of budget.
It is so beautiful. And the film is filled with frames like that, shots like that, ideas like that. Taika Waititi is full of ideas and he puts it all on the screen. And that's what I love. He puts everything out there for everyone to see.
Exactly. When Thor's butt is out there for everyone to see. Because why? I mean, imagine he'd done that with a female character. Imagine he'd done that with a female character. The shock and outrage that would be out there in the world. Imagine that. How dare you, Taika? How dare you?
Chris Hemsworth is a beautiful, beautiful man. Every inch of his skin, every crevice on his body is incredible.
Right. Okay.
You are just a Thor loser.
And with that, I do feel like we've reached the natural conclusion of this debate. Tell me, Haisam, what do you actually think about Thor, Love, and Thunder? I'm a Thor loser. That should have been in the movie.
Yeah. See, I could have written this movie. They should have allowed me to. No. What did I think about this movie? I had a good time with the film. I think it is often very funny. I laughed a lot. It has some really beautiful frames, some beautiful ideas. But I think at the end of the day, it is a movie that is less than the sum of it, some of its parts. It is very uneven. And I was just left kind of with a little, like, I was not satisfied. I had very high hopes for Taika Waititi because I love the Ragnarok movies, but this really does feel like he needed to be reined in a little bit.
More.
It should have been better. It's still fun, but it should have been more than that.
So, you know, I was disappointed, I have to tell you, you know, because Thor Ragnarok was literally... I don't know if it's my favorite, but I think, yeah, it could very well be my favorite Marvel, like, if it's not in the top three or whatever, you know, it's one of my favorites. I loved it. You know, it balanced like real, you know, emotional moments with awesome, you know, music and really epic fights and just, you know, and humor and a buddy kind of, you know, comedy thing. So it just gave you such a spectrum, right? And when there were scenes that were really epic or emotional, they weren't undercut by the humor.
Yeah.
And the problem here is that what I found out is that actually, you know, Taika Waititi didn't write Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
Right? It was actually not him. I mean, he directed it. Yeah. And I'm sure he added a lot of ad-libbing. Mm-hmm. I don't think writing in terms of plot structure and storytelling in that sense, you know, is his strong point.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to be, at least not in Marvel terms. Yeah. You know, when it comes to his own personal movies, like Boy and Hunts for the Wilder People and all of that, that's a different story because that's, I think, very personal to him they're incredible. Yeah. But when it comes to respecting the emotional arcs of these characters and kind of keeping them grounded, but then littering it with all these hilarious kind of non sequiturs and you know,
yeah,
you know, that's he's good at, but this film had no plot.
Yeah.
It was pointless. It felt like they were just random moments of off-the-cuff humor that just deflated the film.
It feels strangely episodic, and it feels like, okay, something happens at the beginning, and something's about to happen at the end, and then, like, the entire middle of it is just kind of like filler.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like filler of just jokes or just random like side quests that have really nothing to do with the film. There's no kind of sense of pacing or anything like that.
I would have rather had 90% less jokes and seen Gore actually kill gods,
yeah,
first of all. Like, that was non-existent, which is such a strange decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would you keep a joke about... I mean, this film made me angry in many ways, okay? It made me angry because, first of all, it made Thor look like a big old idiot.
Yeah.
All right? Destroying things left, right, and center when he should know better at this point.
He wasn't an idiot in Ragnarok. He was...
He wasn't an idiot. He was maybe goofy, but not destructive and an idiot. Like, there are two scenes here that are very indicative of his idiocy, all right? The first scene where he goes to save... you know, these inhabitants of the planet from these owl creatures. And you can tell, you can see it from a mile away.
That
crystal tower that's so important for them is going to be destroyed.
Yes.
And so that's not funny at all. In fact, it made me upset.
Yeah.
You know, like, because I'm like, why would he do that?
Yes.
He's just a goddamn big old fucking idiot. You know, like, screw him. I don't like him anymore. You know, like, you know, and so that was one thing. And then, like, you know, another thing is, like, when he's about to fly off into, you know, on you know, when he's in the hall with his in New Asgard, and he wants to fly off to I don't know where to you know, he uses the Bifrost, and he doesn't go outside to use it. He just uses the Bifrost right there in the middle of the hall, and destroying the roof.
Yeah,
like that kind of stuff is like cheap. It's cheap jokes that makes him look like an idiotic jackass. And okay, like, unnecessary, you know? And then the humor undermines absolutely everything in the film. You know, for example, you know, when Thor is talking to the kids using the sight thing that Heimdall's son, Axel, or whatever his name is, you know? That, the kids were fine. I actually liked the kids, you know? They were, you know, as I do. You know, I love kids. stop. But they're seen, there's actual stakes. These kids have been kidnapped and they're on another planet entirely. And Thor is there to try to calm them and try to make them know that he's on the way. And suddenly he starts kind of swatting at his nose. And then you cut back and you see Valkyrie, who I really liked in Ragnarok, but I absolutely despise in this film, right?
Yeah.
She's like tickling his nose with his hair.
Why?
Why?
Why? Like, in that situation, these kids are in danger. Why are you doing this practical joke? Like, it makes absolutely no sense in context of the film, and it makes no sense for these characters to do it. Do you not care about the kids? Are you not taking this seriously? Like, if the characters aren't taking it seriously,
why should we?
Why should I take this seriously? I understand when there's jokes happening, but you can't, they can't undermine the actual danger of the situation. I think I like this movie more than you did, because I did laugh a lot. Every time those goats screamed, I did laugh. That was just funny.
Every time?
Almost every time they screamed, I laughed. And
they were funny, but there were a lot. Like, they kept screaming.
I think Christian Bale does really, really... He's given very little, but he plays his character really well.
He's the best part of the film.
He's scary. He is... he has that gravity. He brings all of Christian Bale into the
character. He's fantastic.
And I think visually, it does have some... You know, there's like the black and white sequence, which is kind of really cool. Or just how the ship kind of hits into the planet. Like, that's just a cool visual.
It's funny because I heard some complaints about the visuals. And again, you know how I'm like telling you, like, stop talking shit about the animators. Like, I do mean that.
Yes.
You know, like I've had enough of people, like, undermining animators, because they work their freaking asses off. They're underpaid. It's a brutal occupation. Yes. Working against deadlines. And it's so funny when somebody on YouTube takes one shot and they're like, I've made it better. Yeah, well, could you have made the entire freaking movie better in a month? Like, sorry.
But I have to say, though, I do think, like, I agree with
you
about that.
There's a certain amount that you have to lay off.
But I think that, you know, more than talking about when I complain about the CGI, for especially Thor, it's not about the actual people doing the job. I don't think they're doing their job badly. I think that in general, the MCU's special effects have become increasingly grating for me when I see it. Because they have such a cartoonish design. Like, they have...
So you mean conceptually,
I think,
more so than even in the execution?
I'm not saying like it's bad job by these people.
Right.
They're doing what they've been told to do. I think that it is like this, even... We haven't reviewed Multiverse of Madness, but the... CGI in that, like, it is so cartoonish. It feels so fake. I really feel like I'm just kind of watching a cartoon with green screen and, like, that, people kind of jumping around.
Only the people are real.
Yeah, and there's, like, just colors. And it just, there isn't...
But it's funny because I didn't really feel that about Ragnarok. Even though it was very heavily treated, but you know it was very heavily treated. Now, I don't know if there was a lot more real sets or whatever. But
I think because it is so overly stylized, maybe that helps a little bit. But it's still just like none of the fight sequences feel like there's any real fighting going on. I'm just kind of watching it for like cool frames.
I like the fight with Christian Bale, the one in near the end. It's just the way that Christian Bale fought.
Yeah.
The thing is, I can't, any scene that had Christian Bale in it, I was like,
yes.
I was really like happy with that. I was like, this is cool, you know?
Yeah.
There's so much to say about this film. I mean, even like, okay, there was apparently 2 hours of scenes left on the cutting room floor. And initially I was like, well, I want to see. That was before I saw the movie. Yeah. I was like, why are we not seeing that? And now that I saw the movie, I'm like, I don't want to see
that. Yeah, I think it was probably
more of the same pointless jokes, you know? I would have really wanted to see more of Christian Bale.
Yeah.
And literally, I would have wanted to see him killing gods. Like, there was absolutely, he kind of kills one god in the beginning. And let's see what he's doing. Like, why did we not get to see some of that?
I think the other thing I think we talked about in the review is the idea of the Marvel fatigue. I'm still very excited for all the Marvel movies. But I watch all the shows and I watch all the TV stuff. And I feel like now if I'm going to watch something in the cinema, it has to really be kind of special in a way. Where otherwise I'm like, this could be a TV show. Yeah. Or like there's just a new Marvel thing every 2 months. So it kind of feels like I'm just watching so much of it where if it doesn't feel like extra special, then it just like, you know, No Way Home. It just, or like the movies don't have like some crazy cameos in it. Like it just kind of feels like, oh, okay, I guess I watched that. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of like, I'm not fatigued, let's say, but I can definitely see how much there's an overwhelm of this stuff. And so it makes them less special. But that wasn't an issue for me with this film. I was really looking forward to it. I was super psyched, you know? And the thing that really brought me down in this film was the lack of substantial story, the undermining of every meaningful scene with humor.
Yeah.
Like humor that wasn't landing, like really like off-the-cuff remarks that were just jokes that were kind of throwaways. Like you could really see how nobody was really taking it seriously. And it just felt like just too childish in that sense. Like it didn't make any epic or dramatic moment was immediately undercut by a dumb joke.
Except for the parts where Natalie Portman is in a cancer movie, we just felt so jarring.
Yeah, exactly.
It felt so jarring because it's so serious and everything else is so kind of outlandish. And then when she's alone, it's not funny. It's just like the colors get like toned down, like it's darker.
But to be honest, I would have wanted, you know, like that's something that I felt was substantial. Like,
but it's not what I guess the problem is. It's not integrated into the movie really. It just feels like, what am I watching now? And then all of a sudden, the next scene, you know,
there's
just like a goofy thing happening. And it's just like you know, they have a place in New Asgard called like Cones of whatever.
Gauntlet
of Cones or whatever. And just kind of like, this is weird.
It was very tonally all over the place.
Yeah.
There were some funny jokes.
Yeah.
Fine. But there were like 1,000 jokes. So obviously, like, there were a whole bunch of funny ones, you know? I did like the little relationship between the, you know, the two hammers or whatever.
Yeah,
that was funny. You know? But it just kept, they kept caning it. Like, it was like, oh, you like that joke? Here's it a million times. You know, same thing with the goats. Funny, but then they just kept repeating. I did like the scene with all the gods. It was visually fun and colorful. And I wanted to like kind of look at all of them.
But it was such a pointless side quest. Like, why? Are we in, like, I guess they get the lightning thing, but then it's just kind of like, do they need it? They have the hammer, like, do they only need it because they need it? Like, it's not specific.
Exactly. The best part of this film was Christian Bale. His portrayal of the character was so good. And ultimately, I guess I liked it more than I didn't.
You know, the other, I've complained about this movie a lot because there is a lot to complain, but I think a lot of it comes from kind of disappointment more than anything else.
Exactly.
I think overall, I still probably laughed in this movie more than any movie I've watched this year, right? It's probably the top, there aren't a lot of comedies that have come out, or recently there aren't just comedies coming out, but I probably laughed more than I do. And I guess, you know, that counts for something. And in that way, it was nice, but it was just very forgettable. I don't remember that movie.
I think it's what you said. My expectations were so high for this film that I was really disappointed. As a film, if I had no expectations, It was fun. It was good. It was like you could enjoy it. Definitely. Obviously. You know, like it's still visually fun and rich and there is a lot of humor. You know, all the stuff that I'm saying does count. But ultimately, like the only reason that I'm frustrated by it is because I had such high expectations. But if I'm going to compare it to like Jurassic World or some garbage, you know, yeah. like obviously this is a much, much better film. But I'm not comparing it to bad films. I'm comparing it to what I feel it could have been. Which would have been great, you know? Yeah.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how many Infinity Stones would you give Thor?
Wow, it's a tricky one. I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a 6 because of the frustration, disappointment, but because I still have to be objective and look at it and like, okay, it did make me laugh and there was a lot of good stuff about it.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 7 for the same reasons. I had a good time. And I think most people who watch it at the least will have a good time. But, you know, for us, there's just a lot more to kind of just complain about. And like,
I knew this could have been much better.
Yeah.
But, you know, to be fair, if I didn't have that expectation, I would have enjoyed it more. Thank you for listening to Switch Flicks. If you loved or hated the show, please do rate, subscribe and leave some comments. Your support is the thundering love of our hearts.